Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I'm here with my co-host Amanda. And today we are joined by Jenny Lawler. Jenny is a single mum to four amazing children and has always felt drawn to connect with people and learned at an early age that she has a gift in connection. She began leading competitive soccer clubs in her early 20s and had to learn to navigate the obstacles and challenges of being a strong female leader in a male-dominated industry. Though she always knew that impacting the girls she coached was more of a passion to her than the sport of soccer itself, it wasn't until her spiritual awakenings she has opened up so much more. She carries the weight of responsibility that the girls she leads and loves are always watching, and now is walking in clarity and authenticity through some of the most difficult shifts in career and life, knowing that her impact will be much larger in scale as we all shift toward leveling up in life. Jenny, welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast.
Thank you.
So, Jenny, this journey that you've been on, soccer has been a big part of your life, but this has really just been an avenue through which it has led you to the real deeper purpose of your life. And I think what your story, which we'll share in a second, really helps to highlight from a kind of high level is that nothing is by accident, nothing is by chance, that we are always being guided to the places, experiences, things that we need to go through and grow through in order to really come to this place of our authentic expression, living the path that we've come here to live. And, you know, it's not always the walk in the park, right? We get to have the fun parts, but we don't really necessarily have our biggest growth moments in those times. So your journey really highlights to us where, you know, we're being guided to certain situations, which are the times in our life where we're really being asked the deeper questions. I'd love for you to begin to tell us, you know, soccer's been a big part of your life, leading girls, but that was the path that led you to a time where things changed. Do you want to share with us a little bit about that and what that began to open up for you?
Yes, absolutely. I was a soccer player growing up, which was injured, tore my ACL when I was a teenager, which kind of led me into coaching just so I could stay on the field and stay involved in the game and with people. So I got an early start, was embraced by some awesome leaders and felt seen and valued through my club soccer path. But I always knew, even from a very young age, that I could connect. I could connect with people on a spiritual level. I could talk their talk. I could talk their language. I can meet them where they're at. And that was something that was always really clear to me. And I didn't love the game of soccer so much as just my time with the girls and seeing their evolutions as, you know, as people on the field, off the field, in relationships, at school. You know, it became, you know, I was able to create a culture and a little community within each team and within the club, which was a safe space for them to be vulnerable and feel seen and valued. And that translated to success on the field. So I started to have some successes and, you know, was kind of moved up the ladder, so to speak, of club soccer and expanded professionally, which kind of opened up some doors and some opportunities. And I took that path, assuming that's, you know, that's the next step that I should be doing, right? So this is what I should be doing. I didn't really, in retrospect, I didn't feel called to do that. Like deep down, I didn't feel called to do that. I was okay just impacting the girls I was with. But I kind of just thought like, oh, that's just the market of club soccer. That's what it's turning into, that I just got to evolve. There's not a lot of strong females in the game. So I just got to evolve with the game. But deep down, again, knew that it wasn't like doing much for me, you know? So I personally went through some pretty tough life changes. My water broke with one of my babies at 17 weeks and gave birth to him. I would say that's the start of like things really starting to get heavy for me in life, just in life, and was able to use soccer and my time with the girls as an outlet. And I actually instilled that in them, like use this time together to just breathe and be free and let your body do what it's created to do and leave all the stresses out, you know, off the field, you know, because this is your outlet. So I went through that and then got pregnant with my next little guy. Knew that that wasn't going to be the end of my motherhood story, you know, to lose that baby. And so I had my next little guy in COVID, at the very start of COVID, which I thought was actually kind of awesome because usually I have to have my babies and get back out on the soccer field. So to have that time, I just felt so grateful to have that time with him and the others. And I have four kids, as you mentioned, and just to get acclimated as a family and have that quality time really without soccer being a factor. So that really opened up my eyes as to like, gosh, I'm not here a lot for my babies. I'm out on the field a lot and I miss things. And so that kind of planted more of a yearning. Like that was the first like shift where I was like, huh, I want to just be able to be more present to them. You know, then a few months later, I lost my best friend in a car accident. She was hit by a drunk driver and that just like rocked my world, my kids' world. It's obviously heavy to go through a loss like that, but then to have to navigate your kids going through it and making sure that they're okay and your healing and grief kind of gets put on a shelf as a mom. So I was just carrying a lot. And then we came out of the quarantine time and back on the soccer field. And ultimately I made a job change because I thought that's what I should do to elevate to the next higher level league, you know? And it just wasn't a good environment. It was really heavy for me. It wasn't a good environment. So I didn't have that outlet. I didn't have the outlet of the heaviness of life because it was heavy at work too. And I did have my girls, but just the whole club environment was heavy. So it started kind of triggering me, you know, like triggering me into like, whoa, no, this isn't right. And me trying, you know, fighting, which is like fighting to be heard and to be seen in this, like, I'm a woman, I'm a female leader. And this league is about female leaders. And, you know, just overkill on trying to use my voice and it was just falling on deaf ears and heavy for me. So I didn't have that outlet. Then went on a trip with my girls and it was just like totally transformative when I came back into the environment, just had a true dark night of the soul where I was just like, couldn't get off my bed and I knew this wasn't the right place for me. And just carrying the weight of like 100 families that came to this club with me. And like, I have to keep my word to them. And so there was just this internal struggle, like killing me. And it was just heavy, 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 trying to do the right thing, thinking, oh my gosh, I have at least a whole nother year of this, like just drowning. So I actually got fired from that job, which was like a public, it was all out in the community. It was embarrassing. It was mortifying. I didn't know where I was going to turn. But the only thing I could do was like, just surrender. Okay. That's not for me. I was like, actually grateful. Like, thank God I got fired. Cause it was like God taking me out of that environment and giving me just space to breathe. So I actually felt, I mean, all those feelings were real, but like just the space to just be and surrender and just see where am I going to be led, and I'm open to it. So that was really the first part of my spiritual awakening. I was like, I got to get into therapy. This is like heavy stuff I haven't dealt with, you know, like loss and life mm-hmm. stuff. And so I was really, really committed to like healing. I just didn't know what it looked like, you know, or where to start.
So then you didn't have access to therapy. So where were you led?
So I first just kind of dabbled into like podcasts. I was looking at, listening to podcasts, reading books, ordering books. I have a self-care regimen. Like, I'm a member at a day spa, so I go get a massage.
Nice one.
Which is what you think, like, oh, here, I get my mani-pedi and my massage and I should be good. But that mm-hmm. wasn't quite enough, you know? I just started really just being open and learning. I joined a new club and had a fantastic first year at the new club and just talked openly. Really, it was talking. I mean, using my voice is a huge healing method for me. And especially because it's, you know, you grow up with all the external programming of being a good girl and don't speak up and stay in your lane. And I'm like, no, I got something to say here. So it was, I think that was probably the first big step where I opened up this new club for our community, but I was like joining their club in my hometown and just being totally real and vulnerable with the girls and the families. And yeah, I got fired. It's true. And I want to create a safe space for these girls to just show up and be who they're created to be valued and seen. It was really a nice first year. I mean, we had four teams. They trained together. We had a little sisterhood going on. The coaches were all on board. Parents were all on board. And it was just like, I felt like I was definitely fulfilling, you know, my true purpose, and which is to impact girls more so than the soccer, you know. And because of the positive first year, the club grew, which means that it wasn't really controllable to keep it that same vibe and that same like just safe space for the girls. Because again, we brought in a high level league, which is what I thought. That's me like veering off my path unknowingly at the time. And with that brought, you know, different personalities, different parents, different kids, different like a sense of entitlement in some regards, just, you know, a different vibe. So then I found myself kind of fighting to save the vibe that I launched this with, as well as taking a step back and trying to be still through it all rather than like fight, which is what I had done, you know, that the unhealthy side of me would have done. So I actually just, it was a really rough second year and just kind of took the approach, like, I'm just going to sit in it and see what happens and trust. So that I think would lead to a second spiritual awakening that I've had over the past, like, I would say 4 or 5 months.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah. And what was that? Tell us about that.
So I was definitely rooted and set, standing firm in the fact that regardless of what was going to go on that I agreed with or didn't agree with, or, you know, parents could take conversations in a different way or the club could make a decision, I was going to stay rooted in the fact that I'm going to keep my boundaries and I'm going to stay true to that. And again, it's important to me that these girls have someone, me, that they look up to, a role model, that it's okay to show up as yourself and it's okay to use your voice and disagree. And yeah, it's okay to be you, you know, ultimately. And that's why they, again, perform and get results, and they're in a safe space where they feel valued and seen. And there are a couple parents that were kind of pushing a little bit. And I actually just stepped back and started seeing different things, like different personalities and different characteristics come out. And I just knew I didn't want any part of it. And I knew I didn't want to handle myself how I had in the past. So I had already evolved. And I just was like, no, I'm going to protect my peace and I'm not going to dive into this, you know? So one of my friends had mentioned Reiki and I was like, what's that? And she's just like, you should try it. She had a recommendation at the time. I couldn't really get into the recommended studio that she sent me. So I just was searching and I'm like, I YouTubed it, which is like kind of wackadoodle because that's not what Reiki is. A lot of the, you know, some of those, like, it's funny, you know. So there was a website called A Mother's Love Reiki. And I was just like, there's my girl, and clicked on it and read about, you know, the founder of that Reiki, Juana, my girl Juana. And she just, it was just called out to me. I knew that I needed to go there and meet her. And she just seemed so awesome and just felt connected immediately. And so I signed up for a Reiki session on her website. She called me right away and we chatted, and I ended up actually signing up for a QHHT. So like a quantum hypnosis session, which is like, I was just totally open. And this, the difference between like the first club with the heavy like environment, I had done work, some work, you know, and I had healed and I had spent time and just kind of done a lot of healing work. And that was affirmed when I was going through this hard time with the second club. I was not triggered. I wasn't getting pulled off track. I knew I wanted to correct the cart and just make it about the girls and protecting the space and creating the environment. And so I was just open, you know, I was called to Juana. I was led on her website to try this hypnosis thing, and it was awesome. So I went through that, and the synchronicities and her knowing what she knew and shared with me was mind blowing. And at that time I was just like, okay, I'm all in. Like after that, I'm all in on whatever this is. I love it. So yeah, she said, you are here to use your voice. I'm like, yeah, I know. I think I am, you know, and it affirmed so much of who I am. And all of, like, I had been through so much gaslighting and I was questioning myself and doubting myself and still trying to show up for all these girls and just didn't. I was just like, am I crazy? Am I hard to work with? Am I? All the things. And just sitting back and kind of letting, like, letting go of control and letting the cards fall the way that they're going to fall. Based, like, if the club wants to make this decision, I got to just let the cards fall. If the parents want to make this decision for their kid, I just got to let the cards fall. And that was so liberating for me. And just to sit in my truth and be okay with whatever's next, you know?
It is cool how we can be in an environment that doesn't really support us being our authentic self. And then we have to go through these experiences where we have to be reminded, right, of who we truly are, because we do that by not living in alignment with who we are. And then that doesn't feel right. And so then we get pushed. Like, you got pushed in, it was uncomfortable. And then you found your way to Juana. And when you experience a mirror showing you who you really are, like you just said, like, yes, I'm all in, like, that's me. Then it's easier to let go of the things that aren't true to you and aren't what you're here to be a part of. And all of that is serving you, right? And reminding you of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of the heavy stuff of like a spiritual awakening or just even going through hard times, like generally, is you're shown a mirror. And maybe those are the qualities you're triggered by because you need to put a little love and attention there, right? Mm-hmm. And it was really nice to know that after the work I had done through Juana's help and helping myself see that really that mirror was like everything great, everything who I am, and embracing that and being okay, like regardless of what's being said or what's being the chaos that's going on around me or being created, you know, in the environment. It was really cool too. It definitely inspired me to do more. I want more of this. I want to dig in. It was like just fueling me in a way I hadn't felt fueled in a really long time to just be more impactful for these girls and to, you know, do the work. And then ultimately I just felt like, gosh, I feel myself expanding so much. So really, do I want to be in this environment? Am I expanding beyond this environment? You know, I was doing a lot of soul searching, trying to continue to heal, trying not to get sucked up in the like, no, I gotta prove myself. No, that's not right. You know, and just kind of letting the cards, like I said, letting the cards fall where they may. And ultimately, like you were saying, letting go, Amanda, a few minutes ago, letting go is probably my biggest challenge. Like I feel obligated to all these kids. I feel like I got to stay plugged in. I got to stay on the, I got to make the path right instead of getting back on the right path, right? So just falling into all that I should be doing this, I need to be doing this, all the shoulds, instead of like shedding away all those layers of shoulds and all the armor and all the extra stuff that I carried when I'm not on my true path. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the difference. Like my first awakening was like, holy cow, I got to dig in and heal. I've been through some stuff and I got to heal for myself, for my kids, for my peace. And then this second one was more embracing the work I had done already, the healing I had done, and more transforming and shedding. And just really, it was a trip just watching people show their true colors. And as tough as it was, just sitting back and letting it happen and really trusting God, trusting my, all right, I know that I'm in the right place. I know that I'm on the right path. I know that I'm doing the work. So I'm all in, whatever that means. And it's been really cool. It's been really liberating and freeing and opened up now like some new opportunities like this podcast and, you know, sharing my story a little bit more and hopefully impacting a broader scale of girls.
Yeah, Jenny, your story really shows, like, as I said, when we opened, that, you know, life is putting us in the places where we need to be to see ourselves, see our stuff, and see our path forward. First for you, it was really, as you said, with your first awakening, it is, oh gosh, I have things I need to heal. I need to look at what's within me. I always see that sort of first level of healing of like, this is the real cloudy stuff that's covering up our authentic self, our light, our truth, because that's really our big stuff, right? It's our grief. It's, you know, our conditioning, our programming. It's all that shoulding, you know, it's the ego program we've got running that we've, you know, built to help us survive in a world, which is, you know, it sounded a little bit like for you, it was like, I've got to like, you know, charge ahead and like get my voice heard so I can be seen and valued. So there's that striving because there's something underneath that doesn't feel like enough. And so when we can do that first layer of healing, you come to a place of, as you said, like, you know, you've got more peace, you're able to let things go a little bit more. And then life's like, all right, okay, here's another dose. You think you can let go? Can you let go some more? And so we get that next, you know, round of like, we've got to deepen in. But then it sounded like for you, that second time round was like, okay, I can see how valuable that work has been. Because I can do this, I can let go, and I can let go even more. And so that's such a testament to the journey of healing of like, yeah, it's not easy, it's hard, and it, you know, brings up all the stuff, but our strength lies underneath that. And when we get to that next place, when life then does just serve up the next layer, you know, we can dig in even deeper to that authentic part that's like, yeah, okay, I see where this is going. I know this is for me. So thank you for sharing, like, those parts, because that's the inspiring part of these processes, because now here you are having someone mirror back to you that, yes, it is about your voice, but it's the authentic expression of your voice. It's not that I have to fight for myself to be seen and heard in this world that maybe was just showing me all the time that, you know, how do I get into being me, but then find the path and the place for this authentic expression that helps people connect with themselves more deeply. So do you want to share with us where you are now and like what, how are you beginning to own and express this more expanded version of you, this version of you who's, of course, as we all are, continuing to let go of more of the things because they come up the more that we want to step out and be authentic. Because I know that we've chatted once before about, you know, your work with the girls, how important that is for you and the impact. Like, what's on the horizon for you now that you've gone through these experiences, you know that you're here to use your voice. Like, what is your message? What are you wanting to share with the world?
Ooh, that's good. Well, I am just so certain that we were all born with, we came here on earth with everything we need, right? To shine our lights here, everything we need. And like my inner child is really who I want to follow through all of this. And, you know, she's awesome. She got forgotten about a little bit. And, you know, I want to really lean into her. And that's really who I am before all of this heavy stuff and all that the external programming and everything comes into place. I actually was listening to a podcast and they mentioned, like, whatever age your children are, they're a mirror of what you needed to heal or what you needed at that age, really. That changed, like, my perspective so much in parenting. Like, I have Luca, who's 15, a boy, so that's a little bit tougher to, like, I've never been a 15-year-old boy, but he just is emotional and awesome. Reese is obvious. She's my only girl. So I have dove into her. She's 11 and just everything I needed at that time. And then I have a little emotional, amazing little firecracker who's 9, Cruz, and he just wants me. He wants my time and my attention, and he gets misunderstood because he's so busy and so crazy. And I see that in myself. I got so misunderstood as a little kid. So I'm seeing it all through them in this, like, kind of slower time personally with the holidays and everything. It's been so nice. And then Jax is just my little guy. He's 4 and he's gotten all of me. So he's just my little love bucket. But I actually am taking that lesson into my time with the girls. Like, I coach all different ages. So, like, what would I want? What would I need at that age? And I already know I was given the gift of spiritually connecting with them and making them feel seen and valued. So I just want to do that on a larger scale. I've kind of been led to do more of a consulting thing. Like, I want to work with girls. I'll still coach a little bit and do club soccer because it's just, I love the team dynamic too. But I want to work with girls one-on-one and their families and their parents. It would obviously be athletic performance, but with a mental side, like mindfulness and connecting with your true self, because then ultimately on the field, you can perform. And when you can be vulnerable and confident and authentic, you're going to shine because that's what you're created to do. And then I also want to consult teams and clubs and try to be a voice. I think that's the piece missing in this industry, is really, like, the coach connecting with the player, connecting with the team, and just trying to be a voice for that and pathway for girls to have a better experience or more whole experience.
That resonates so much because a lot of what we've talked about through this podcast and our experiences is that we are in the process of learning to be our authentic selves, be who our souls signed up to come here to be. And I'll speak for myself in that I felt, or, you know, I think I unconsciously conformed to the norms of what I felt I was supposed to be. And so it's been an unlearning of coming to learn who am I on a soul level. And, you know, I'm doing that in my 40s. And it's just like, well, what would happen if all these kids didn't have to unlearn, or didn't learn that they need to be something other than who they are? And they had adults in their life that could celebrate them and cultivate the gifts that they have, right? We all have unique gifts and something to offer in this world. And, you know, if we think about just the school system, it's just like, it's teaching us to all be the same. And there's certain archetypes that do well, and the rest learn that, you know, they're not valuable. So I think what we're being asked to do right now is to parent and lead children in different ways. It really starts by the adults dealing with their stuff, right? Healing, coming to terms with, you know, starting to accept who we are. And only through that can then we in turn really know the value and importance of accepting our children for who they truly are, not trying to put them in a box or fit them to some ideal of what we think success is. And because really, success for everyone is different, and we each came here to do something different. I love that you have real hands-on experience working with a lot of kids, and
because you have the gifts that you have, it was just came naturally for you to help girls express all of this. But now it's on a different level. I imagine because you're doing your healing work, and then now you're going to create something much more intentionally, not within the container of, you know, certain, you know, a certain box that you're supposed to fit in. You can create what this is going to look like. And so I just imagine that what you're able to do with girls is going to be even more profound than the effects that, you know, you've already had on girls. And I'll just share with people listening, I've experienced Jenny firsthand. She was my soccer coach when I was 15 to 18. And, you know, that was kind of the beginning of her foray into her soccer career. But it's true. Like, you were naturally gifted at holding a space for a team to exist together. You know, you were natural at it, but I imagine you just become an expert at this, right? It's so cool to see, hear your journey and see you owning your gifts. And, you know, you've known all along, maybe unconsciously, but now it's much more conscious in the forefront, and you're able to now create something. And it's exciting to see where it's going to go.
It's something that came up when you were talking for me is I had this team. All the teams I coach are special to me. When I say like, I have this team, some of my players are like, wait, were we your favorite though? So yes.
I'm sure you make everyone feel like they're special because they are special to you.
Everyone's my favorite, but I had this particular team. They just aged out, meaning they're freshmen in college now. And I was their coach through all of the stuff, you know, losing the baby, COVID, like, so we were very close. I mean, just listening to them and their struggles through the quarantine and through all of that. And then, you know, they came with me to change clubs twice. So they were kind of on my journey. And a couple of them were like, Coach Jenny, the growth, like, you focused so much on self-growth. And that was before I even knew I was tapping into that like element, you know. And I already, through the heaviness of what I was going through, I was already reflecting that to them, and they saw it. What came up for me when you were talking is like, oh my gosh, imagine if teenagers could be exposed to like, hey, let's dig in and heal a bit. Mm-hmm. And because they were open with me about vulnerabilities. I mean, just depression through COVID and loneliness and needing this connection with their friends, and they were raw. And I was equipped enough to try to help guide them. And so we became really, really close. And that kind of just really opened up my heart in a new way to just, I always knew impacting girls was my calling, but just, yeah, no, this is what I need to be doing, is pouring into these kids and being someone in their corner, someone real and authentic and loving and in their corner, so they can show up and know it's okay to show up as yourself, your authentic self. So yeah, shout out to those girls, because I was growing with them. You know, we were each other's little life preserver through all of that stuff. So
it's pretty magical how much kids teach us, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just, gosh, if I like getting back to a place where soccer was a joyful environment, you know, I was able to create that again. And just, I'm so grateful to showing up, and their little faces light up to see each other, to see me, to get out on the field. And it's so important that this is their passion. So their hearts are already open to it. So it's just like the best way to tap into, you know, their hearts are open when they're playing the game. Let's pour into them, you know, and help them with the tools and support they need to just find their own calling and their unique gifts, you know? So,
yeah, that's really beautiful that you're like offering that to teens, which sounds like, well, even young to teens, to then, you know, they end up in college, but they've had this experience of you pouring into them, seeing them, exampling for them what it's like to experience something and then face it, work with it. Like, that's an incredible guide that you are being. And I just want to second that. Like, I often think about the number of years I've been doing work to undo the experiences of my teenage years. And had I had someone, you know, around me at that time who could have helped me process, tap into that, heal that, frame it in my own mind in a different way, I could have saved 20 something years of feeling a certain way and afraid and doubting and not liking myself. And I think the work you're doing, and as you guys have said, as parents, being able to do that work and reflect it back to our kids and then show them the tools and, you know, what you said, Jenny, of like, you know, that inner child experience you had of like then meeting your children where they're at and like giving them what you needed. Like, to me, my heart just swells with that, because that's so beautiful, right? Like, there's such tender ages to have emotional needs and like all four of them being different and what they need is different. And yet you've had your experiences and yet you can see them through for who they are. You can understand them as their uniqueness. Shine that back to them, mirror that back to them. Like, what a gift you're giving to them as well, you know? And yeah, I just think it would be so amazing if we could structure a world or a school system where everyone's uniqueness was valued and that wasn't just this blanket, you all need to strive for the same goal and be like this. And like, if you're not in that top percentage, then there's, you know, there's something wrong with you. And I mean, when you go through that for how many years of schooling, like, you just feel half baked. You do. You don't really feel like, unless you got those good grades, that, you know, you're all that special. And you sort of seek that after a while of like, well, maybe I'm, you know, never going to succeed as much as X, you know, some other person. So being able to have that uniqueness honored and seen and letting us see what our gifts are and how we can use them authentically is really powerful. So yeah, I just want to thank you for doing that work.
Just recently, I want to say like maybe September or October, I was really deep in just letting go of what everyone thought or, you know, was saying maybe about me or assuming about me, and just really like digging into who I am spiritually and who I want to show up as. And I was actually driving a player to a game. I coached her little sister. And so the mom's like, can she just hop in with you and go to the next game? And I'm like, absolutely. This was like it's so trippy, but so rad. You guys will appreciate it. I'm like, kind of like, oh, she's going to be with me all day. This is going to be like 10 hours with, she's my sidekick, you know, cause I was going to Cruz's game in between and I love it, but I just want to make sure she's having fun. And, you know, I can still, you know, I have phone calls to make and, you know, all the things. So I just decided to like, let go of all that stuff and connect with her. I have this opportunity to, you know, have one-on-one time with her. And I put my phone down, I'm driving, and I'm like, okay, so what's up? How are you? And she goes, her whole body settled, like, good, how are you? You know, and it was just like, I was like, okay, I've had aha moments with kids in the past. Like, okay, this is so special. And obviously, I'm a single mom. So if there's other adults who love your kids, we need it. We need that. We need the village. And she said that she's like definitely gifted and special. And I think I missed their previous game. A cover coach was there because I had a conflict. And she goes, we've missed you. I'm so excited. You're coaching us today. And I go, yeah, I missed you guys too. You know, I was with the little ones. And she's like, yeah. And she goes, I just love your energy. And I was like for a teenager to say that, I'm like, thanks, girl. I love yours too, you know? And she's like, no, I like when you talk, I'm just like pulled in. And I go, what do you mean? Like pulled in, you know? And she's like, no, I go, you can feel it. Like, I know it's a vibe, you know, I bring the energy, you know, cause sometimes I have to fake it. I'm not feeling it. I'm like, all right, girls, let's go. You know? And I'm like, it's a vibe. And she goes, no, I see it. Like she could like see my aura. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, it's like around you. Like there's this light around you. And it happens at practice sometimes when you talk, every time you talk about your kids, it happens. And I can't stop looking at you. And I'm just like, Bella, you're special, girl. We're soul sisters. I have to be careful with what I talk about because, you know, parents have different religious beliefs and all the things, but I'm like, you have a gift and you're special. And I said, you know, not everybody can see that, right? She's all, they can't? And I'm all, no. And I said, I can too. I can see energies. I remember the first, I was like in my 40s when I realized like not everybody had this intuition or could see. Like I thought everybody could. And I'm just like, what's wrong with these people? Can't they see this is like a nightmare or whatever it is, you know? But so just to share that with her, like, no, not everybody can see that and take care of that and nurture that and own it and be it, girl, because that is special and it's your gift. And she was like, oh, okay. You know, I've talked about God and stuff like Christianity with girls and teams, and we pray before games. But that was my first like spiritual, energetic conversation with a player. It was just really cool, really rewarding, really cool, you know, to see her embrace that.
I'll just say that I think a lot of times our gifts, they're just so normal for us. And so, and we assume, like you said, that everyone else, it's just normal. And so we don't even recognize and we don't cultivate, we don't take care of our gifts because it's just the way we are. And if we knew that we had this, you know, ability, these abilities, we could cultivate them more if we knew that there was something to cultivate, you know? So it's like, it's so cool to hear that you dropped that or you've opened that up for her. And you hear the story so often where people's gifts are shut down when they're usually younger kids, I'd say. But I think if we can allow our kids to have those sensitivities and talk about them as normal, that there's no reason to hide them and that they're special and that, you know, that we just cultivate it within them. I feel like we're going to have a different world.
Totally.
If we have more kids that can live their teens and their young adulthood, not having to go through these dark nights of the souls where it's like, okay, now I have to remember and go back and figure this all out. And so,
yeah. So Jenny, as you've spoken about, you know, your awakening, some of the things that you've had to do, there's been like surrender, trust.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I heard there like honesty. There was like, you know, speaking your truth. Stillness for you sounded like was a big part of that. That that to me always feels like that's when we come back into that truth and we decide, well, you know, do I need to let go here? Do I need to get involved? It's us, you know, stepping into the more authentic, higher version of ourselves as opposed to our old triggers and patterns.
And am I doing too? What am I doing?
Interesting.
Yeah.
And another one you said was protecting my peace, which I think is, you know, really beautiful because it's again speaking to, well, you know, do I want to get entangled in the outside story, the narrative, the argument? Like, I'm going to protect my peace, again, stay in my center, my authenticity, and probably speak more truthfully and honestly. Are there any other things that you would say for people navigating their awakenings that are powerful practices to bring in? Lessons that you've learned, things to, they can begin to kind of like keep in their awareness to help them, you know, find that center, that place to really touch on their authentic selves as they navigate some of the challenges they're going through.
Yeah. Let me think on that for a sec. Yeah. I think just an awareness, an openness, an awareness. Yeah. Just really, you touched on trust, but like, when we show up authentically, like we're going to be led the right way. If you're open to it, it's not easy to do it. You have to create new habits. My day and mornings and all the things are just completely different and so much more fulfilling. Like protecting my peace has not been easy, but it gets easier the more habitual it becomes to try not to listen to all the outside stuff. A support system. It's not easy to find other people that are trying to heal and trying to spiritually connect. I read an email written by a parent that was like, she's crazy. Look at these posts she's doing. She's absolutely lost her mind. And I was like, all right, cool. He doesn't get it. But like that is kind of the fear, right? Mm-hmm. The fear of showing up truly, authentically. And yeah, just with more of a support system to know like, yeah, we're not crazy. We're actually doing the work and showing up as who we're created to be without trying to be cool and trying to be tough and trying all the things, you know, the shoulds. So yeah, I mean, that's been the biggest challenge for me, kind of. Doing, I'm a little to an extent in the public eye in soccer in this community. And so it's just a little bit challenging to know who my people are and, mm-hmm. you know, who's in my corner just to leverage something and who's not and who, you know, and mm-hmm. I can't control any of that. It's just really letting go. You know, you'll know your people, you'll know it, you'll know them. And the shedding is jobs sometimes, the part of the transformation, people, lots of people. And it's, yeah, I just think like a support and diving into new friendships and new relationships that are more aligned with your new path, and then just keep loving yourself, keep healing and keep loving yourself and keep showing up, because that's all we can really do, right? For ourselves and our kids.
I want to point out that we truly all have our own past. For me, I had to leave where I grew up, you know, in order to heal and find who I am. And so for you to stay there and be able to go through it. Yeah. Especially with you in the spotlight, like that's hard. That is not an easy path to evolve into your authentic self while people are, you know, criticizing you. And that's not easy. Like I left the country.
I was like, did we move to Mexico? Don't think I didn't think about it.
Yeah, it's easier to leave, right? And, you know, but we each have our own, you know, path of how we need to do things. And to me, your path just seems really hard, but you know, good job. And yeah. I commend you and I acknowledge you, because I think it takes a strong person to kind of stay put and have, you know, those judgments, those people who don't understand you, and you still honoring who you are and, you know, stepping into more of your truth and walking it and allowing people's judgments to kind of wash off of you. So
thank you. Yeah. Amanda, it means a lot. It's tough, but I know. I think I'd be bored if it wasn't. It's got to be tough. That's like the competitor in me. If I'm not going to fight to be heard, I bet might as well fight to be true, right?
I love that. I mean, yeah, I think it's just a testament to who you are that your truest truth is going to come out in the toughest environments, because it's just, that's what you wanted it as a soul. And, you know, you were here to like really anchor in your voice in a big way. And, you know, you opted for, I'll take it because my message is big. And it truly is a powerful message. Jenny, thank you for doing the work, walking the path, seeing other humans and girls and children as they are, shining your light on them so they can see theirs. I believe you have a website that we will share so that people can learn about the work that you're doing.
Yes. So sportsandevents.com, that's my new company. And so I didn't even really plan on this. I was actually talking to you, Amanda, and you're like, that's totally your intuition that, you know, you saw that you would definitely be led in a different way back then. So like a year and a half ago, I opened up an LLC and I was like, what am I going to do? I just didn't even know why. I was just like, I probably need to have something in my back pocket because this is a tough industry and I need to feed my kids. So it's hard to know if there's stability, but anyways, just started Googling and searching, and my soccer girls that I talked about earlier in that team, I took some time off and came back to them and they're like, how you doing? And I'm all, girls, I'm so Zen. I am Zen. And my Instagram handle is Zen Dogs. And so they started calling me Coach Zen Dogs. They're like, okay, Zen Dogs. So funny. So I was just like Zen. Googling, that's where I started and came to Enso, which is a Japanese symbol, like a single brush stroke with no edits, no corrections. And it symbolizes togetherness and unity, which I'm a definite unifier on this earth. I know that. And really letting your mind go and letting your body do what it was created to do. So I just thought that was so fitting, like on the soccer field too. And, you know, just coming back into your body and being present and celebrating that. So that's why I went with Enso. And so
amazing.
Go check it out, guys.
Exactly. That took the words right out of my mouth. Check it out, especially because, Jen, you're in Southern California.
Yes, Southern California.
Yeah, you can tap into Jen's work and see what she's doing and be affected in a positive, positive way. So, Jen, thank you so much for everything you shared today.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, guys.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll join you in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. To learn more about today's guest and view all the resources mentioned in this episode, visit our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and head to the episode page for this conversation. You can go directly there by clicking the link in the show notes wherever you are listening or watching this. Here on our website, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.